Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hello and welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 519. I'm going to do a fast intro because I'm just in that kind of a mood today. I'm in a getting shit done thing today. We're going to get this intro done. Oh, I've wasted too much time talking about how I'm going to get the intro done. Okay, here's the intro. We're doing two shows at San Diego Comic-Con this year at the Balboa Theater. Friday night, 10:30 p.m. at Midnight Live. We're locking down the guests right now, but they are going to be awesome and hilarious, I promise. Also, a Nerdist Podcast, Saturday, July 26th. That's also at 10:30 p.m. And these people are actually buying these tickets, so hop on them soon before they disappear through magic. I'd like to thank GoToMeeting.com by Citrix for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. Why not share your screen to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, projects in real time? IRT, some would say. Although it takes just as long to announce the abbreviation and then say what it stands for. You're just going to turn your webcam on. You're going to see everyone face to face. It's going to save you time and money. You're not going to have to travel all over the place. I live in Los Angeles. I wouldn't even drive to Santa Monica if I didn't have to for a meeting. It's like 45 minutes of nonstop traffic. So why not use GoToMeeting? It's powerful. It's the easiest way to collaborate online. And if you can't be somewhere in person, it's the next best thing. You can manipulate all your documents, you can share documents, you can see everything right there. It's everything you need to conduct the meeting that you want. So, you're going to go to GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code Nerdist, which starts your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting, and then you're going to enter the promo code Nerdist when you're checking out. All right, that's GoToMeeting.com, enter the promo code Nerdist. This episode is Jessica St. Clair and Lennon Parham. I know Jessica. I'd never met Lennon before, but I know Jessica from, I know this sounds dumb, from comedy. But, you know, there's a tight-knit or somewhat tight-knit of comics out here in Los Angeles. We all run into each other things, but they're both hilarious. They have a show called Playing House Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on the USA Network. And here we go. Let's start the podcast. Yeah, under 2.5 minutes. Way to go. Getting shit done intro, Nerdist Podcast number 519. Start the thing!
Now entering Nerdist.com.
We're doing our show, Mantzoukas and I.
Yeah.
And the New York Times randomly decided to come. And we were like, everyone was losing their minds. So the Times is here. Who cares, right? But a man came and ate a full, like, four-course meal on his lap during the sketch show involving a wheel of cheese that he unwrapped. And we were like, what is this happening? And so, like, in the review, it was like, these two don't give a shit, and neither does the audience. Like, it's just like, you can eat on your laps. So then, from now on in New York, they have to make an announcement that says, please do not eat.
Please do not eat a four-course meal.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That was the worst thing I ever saw someone eat in the front row.
But it's like, I'm a live person. I think sometimes they think they're in a movie.
Well, I think because UCB has such a vibe of like, BYOB, everyone, fucking whatever.
Yeah.
It's not BYO pad thai.
BYOPD.
Come on, man. Yeah.
So you can bring your own police department, you can bring your own...
Yeah.
Oh, I said PD. I'm so tired, it didn't matter. It didn't faze you.
But I couldn't come up with a quick enough response.
So now we started recording. Lennon was eating food, and I said you should finish that before we start because people will have an aneurysm over if they hear eating, and it's a rage that you'd think would be reserved for, you know, serial killers or giving drugs to children or something. But it's
crunching
it really
on something. Something sweet or salty gets people real pissed off.
There was nothing
off.
Crunchy in my meal. It would have just been soft mashing.
A soft burrito.
If that would have been okay.
All of your social media outlets, you would be prepared for a lot of all caps, many exclamation points.
Stop the soft mashing.
Yeah, stop the soft mashing.
Gross.
Even the term soft mashing violates my sensibilities on this matter.
I could also talk about the 3-part root canal that I just recently had. I bet that would give those same people.
You did many series? The 3-parter?
Yeah, it was like Downton Abbey only in my mouth.
So you did a trilogy. You did the trilogy.
But
you
if she does it, the accent she will use will be so offensive that we will not be able to air said podcast.
I could do it in a Scottish brogue and
do it in Scottish.
Well, I said, because my tooth was really super sensitive, and so he had to give the tooth. He gave me like shots directly into my nerve ending, and it was still reacting. So he was going to give a medicine so that the next time I would come back, it wouldn't happen. And I said, "Well, what happens if you don't?" He goes, "I'll pray really hard."
That is not the accent he used.
No, I didn't.
No, but
I said I was going to do
she
it.
She did
in
an acceptable.
Yeah, is it
Downton
Abbey?
Swapped
out. Yeah. She swapped out.
It is. Swapped
she
it
swapped out.
Out
what could be a very upsetting impersonation for one that's kind of charming.
Somewhere a Scottish person like punching themselves in the balls, like, why do they always pick me?
Who doesn't love Craig Ferguson or Karen Gillan or Groundskeeper Willie? Like it's like we're all. It's all good.
Groundskeeper Willie. Where is he? You know, what's his second act?
Where's he now? What's he going to do after the show? I think it would be so amazing if they did kind of an Alan Partridge thing with The Simpsons where you would just like spin off.
Yeah, what happened now?
Why won't that? I feel like they could. I mean, I feel like they really could attempt to. They did a whole episode of like, quote, bad Simpson spinoffs.
Did they really?
Yeah, and there was one where it was like Skinner and Skinner and Wiggum.
Wiggum again?
Chief Wiggum.
Chief. Oh yes.
And so they basically go start solving crimes in the bayou or something. And
Springfield is really near the bayou.
They moved.
Yeah.
And then
they did the reverse of the exit from Katrina. Everybody went to the bayou.
Ooh, too soon.
There. Yeah.
Really?
Too
it's
soon.
Been quite a while.
As she just starts eating again.
mash.
Soft mashing.
Hashtag soft mash. you guys are doing At Midnight tonight, which I'm very excited about.
We can't wait.
It's going to be fun. I find that the first time people do the show, if you have a strong improv background, it makes the show so much more comfortable and smooth.
Oh, good. Because we get terrified at making jokes. I'm terrible at making jokes or
short bits. Comedy sports.
Yeah.
That was tough for us.
I remember I auditioned for Chicago City Limits and this was when I was still wearing like
they
my
were
Ann
so
Taylor
good.
Loft
they
suits
had to be
and
in
I was
New
like
York.
Working as a temp and then I'd be like, well, let me try to be a comedian. And you know when you have to do the blues where they like, you got to rhyme it?
Yeah.
I literally just went blank and I just stared at it and they were like, honey, this comedy thing is not going to work out for you. And I was like, all right.
No. You were like, no, that's the blues. It's this feeling of emptiness that we all feel. This collective
I'm
feeling of emptiness.
Fire into my soul.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, but the idea, it's funny when people say improv, I don't think they realize that there are a lot of different shades of improv.
Like, yes.
When I'm a pretty good riffer, but when you put me in a situation where, because I did some Groundlings in the 90s, and I was like, oh, well, I'm pretty good at improv, but I'll start at the level one.
Right.
I was terrible. Because
so in a scene, if you have to be in a scene
game,
as a character that's not
the
yourself.
The structures and the games and the...
It terrifies you.
It just, I didn't... I
you're really
right
good
way.
At being yourself, too. Like, you're like 150% yourself all the time, and people are obsessed with that. So I find that I'd rather be someone else.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I find the joy when I'm not. I'm
if Lennon can
not
be
myself.
Like an Albanian man, you know what I mean? Who's looking for like a bride, his fourth bride. Mm. You know, that's when she really feels
that's
like
when
she,
I come
alive.
And yeah. I'm always fascinated by people who love to disappear into characters because
I'm the opposite. I can't.
I am too. I would start doing it and then just be like, "It's me, guys. I can't."
Yeah,
keep
my
this
accent.
Straight up.
My accents are terrible. They always like fade out with by the second line. I'm not doing it.
I mean, I feel like, you know, you guys would know this, that so there are two types of SNL performers. There are the SNL performers who disappear into the characters and the ones who are very aware that they're doing the characters and sort of laugh with the audience. And I would fall into that camp because I cannot, and maybe it's a fear of commitment or something on my part, but I just cannot disappear into a character.
Lennon does an amazing thing where she can do an impression of just real people. So if like a bizarre waitress comes over and she's got like a strange lisp or just a weird way of speaking, she'll leave and I'll just go, "Lennon," and she'll do a perfect as if she is melded into that person. But I mean, I don't know if you have to do a celebrity impression, it's probably a lot harder.
It's very difficult because I can do it like right after they leave. Like,
I see.
Like sort of like a mimic. Like, you remember that terrible horror movie Mimic where it would like.
Yeah. Terrible. That was a great movie.
Mira Sorvino.
It was Mira Sorvino. That was Guillermo. That was Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Early Guillermo.
So what would happen in it? What was the plot?
It was like in a museum, like a natural history museum or something. And they were like.
Who would mimic someone would mimic somebody?
No, the creature was a mimic. And so it would be like, "Hey, it would mimic someone." You know, it like be right across from you and it would repeat whatever you
it
just did.
It would be you? Would it also parade around as me and like get evil things to happen?
It would be like Michael Winslow in Police Academy. It would just make like a lot of helicopter noises.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't be like, "Oh my God, it's a helicopter coming." It doesn't seem scary at all.
Yeah.
I can't watch horror movies at all. But what I do is I have Lennon tell them to me, the plots of them. So like, for instance, the girl with the dragon tattoo. For almost 6 months, Lennon would give me little pieces. She'd always start with, "Well, she's a ward of the state," and then I would say, "And then what?" And then somebody
would
put something
off the
up
Ford
her butt.
Movie, not the Rooney Mara version.
Which were you doing? The Swedish version? That's even worse.
The hardcore one. Well, I had read the book and it pissed me off so bad because the first half of the book promises a very different thing. It's like this sort of like financial like mystery,
and then
all of a sudden,
what happens in it?
Well,
a lot of
dark stuff to women.
Yeah.
A man gets tattooed.
On what?
On his stomach. Penis? No, a woman. Well, yeah. She tattoos like all over his like stomach because.
With what?
Because he, you know.
With his own blood or something?
It just so that he wouldn't do what he did to her to other people. He was a whatever, S&M guy.
Yeah. It's, I think, scarier to hear it from Lennon, honestly, than if I were
you
to watch the
movie. You should just watch it, really.
Yeah.
Which one should I watch? I think it'd be funny to watch it, but then have you off to the side just explaining it at the same time.
Yeah, definitely.
She's a ward of the state.
She is a ward of the state.
Yeah.
Almost like...
She can't get out of it, you know what I mean? She's stuck in servitude because...
Yeah, she's stuck in the system.
She's too smart for everybody.
Right.
I did not see the Girl with Dragon Tattoo because I'm very bad at watching movies where really horrible things just happen to regular people.
No,
because
thank you.
I need a level of supernatural
fantasy.
Separation.
Sure.
Yeah, I need a fantasy separation because if I don't have that, I cannot... I'm too empathic with... And I will just absorb and then I will feel sad for days.
Me too. Even that horrible movie, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, made me depressed, and I don't know why.
That's definitely got a myth to it, though.
I
that's
know,
not like
still,
happening in real time.
I could, the Headless Horseman, the whole thing made me sad.
All right.
Where's his head? But
even the name Ichabod Crane makes you sad.
It's just sad. The guy's too thin. You know what I mean? And he's looking for
friends. He's Johnny Depp. He's doing all right.
He's doing all right.
You watch the new Sleepy Hollow. I also will talk to her. I'll be like, they just throw sand in your eyes, and then you're just taken over by the...
By what?
By the what's... I can't remember the name of the creature. But it's like the Sandman. They call it the Sandman.
No, that's terrifying.
Because he comes to you... when you're asleep and throw sand in your eyes.
That's,
and then you just
when you're
have
already
sand
asleep.
In your eyes.
And then you know something terrible has happened to you while you've been asleep, but you don't know
like
what.
It just sounds like a dickhead at the beach.
Yeah, seriously.
Like,
yeah,
but the sand
or
is
someone's
is
shaking
like
out their towel
darkness.
Near you.
So it's soul sand.
Yeah.
throws. So it's not just beach sand.
Soul sand. It's much worse.
There's soul sand in your eyes, is it like physical sand too? So then it's like, oh, then I got all this die, soul sand.
Yeah, because then after you deliver the message and you die, your eyes break open and sand falls out.
Oh,
that's so annoying.
Thanks a lot, Lennon. You've just depressed Chris and I to the point where we're gonna have to drink ourselves.
You're really feeling for those people affected by the Sandman.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Too soon. Too soon.
What type of characters do you like to do? Do you like doing just people that you find in the world, or do you like doing celebrity impressions?
I don't really care for doing celebrity impressions. More over my characters. The one woman show that I did at the UCB was mostly like kind of larger than life characters, but they all had a kernel of truth in them, and they all had a real darkness.
Yeah.
So like
you like a loner. I found that if there's a real weirdo on our crew or something galumphing around, that's Lennon will like become obsessed with that person. And
is that
then,
true?
Yes, and then constantly want to kind of get inside of them, see what makes them.
You mean
tick.
Like no, the creature them. From Mimic?
Yes. Oh my God!
So that
what?
I can mind their lives.
That's why you
later.
Totally. That's why you shot in the movie because you were trying to misdirect.
Wait, and all of a sudden we hear like lock, like we're locked in here,
and then Mira Sorvino comes.
Mira Sorvino pops up and is like, meep, meep.
Is Mira Sorvino acted in anything in like the last 10 years?
Oh, she was in something recently. She was in a primetime show.
I really liked Mira Sorvino.
She
and
was
then
great.
Just, like, disappeared.
Romy Michelle's
was great.
Was amazing.
That was a breakthrough.
She was in Woody Allen's
Mighty Aphrodite.
Mighty Aphrodite.
I think she married someone real rich, right?
I don't know.
Maybe she's taking it easy, hiking Runyon Canyon right now, you know?
Right.
Living the good life.
Walking that's dogs not, off leash.
And good for life. Her.
Not cleaning up after them.
Keeping it off
like
leash.
People up there. Hey, man, it's all natural. Fuck you.
Is your podcast mostly just a forum for you to talk about Runyon Canyon's poop problem?
Well, I'm tired of it, quite frankly, and no one is speaking out about it. And I feel like the small percentage of people, like, most of the audience won't get it, but the ones who do will really understand.
Reach one, teach one.
What a pox on Los Angeles culture. Mm-hmm. What an unpopped zit Runyon Canyon is to the face of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I hear you. I used to go there when I first would come out here for pilot season and sleep in various people's walk-in closets and that kind of thing. And I'd just walk up Runyon Canyon just crying. And people would just be like, oh, look at that girl. Like, is she losing her mind? And the answer was yes.
But it would not be out of character for Runyon Canyon.
You see lots of tears happening on that canyon.
It's like the subway of Los
it
Angeles.
It is, yes. Like, why didn't I just stay in my car and cry? That's what I never understood. Like, I could have gone to, like, a Target parking lot and, like, really let it out. But instead, I would get out and
like,
walk.
Because you needed to feel like
people
the same.
See my pain.
Not only that, but, you know, as much as this city makes you feel like you're going emotionally uphill all the time.
Ooh, interesting.
In a sea of annoying people, you had to physically manifest that.
I did.
My favorite Runyon Canyon story was walking up Runyon Canyon, and this felt to me just fairly typical for the types of people that go up Runyon Canyon. Now, I'm not saying all people are like this, so please don't get offended if you're a Runyon Canyon sympathizer. But when...
You've already
Runyon
lost
Canyon
that vote. You lost that vote, yeah.
I'm just saying we should level it and put up Chipotle.
Yes.
But these two girls were walking down past me, and the only part of their conversation I heard was, my friend Wendy totally levitated. That's all I heard of that entire conversation. My friend Wendy totally levitated.
Totally levitated.
That's
amazing.
There was no question. It wasn't partial. It was
a
complete,
happened.
Undeniable
levitation.
Wendy was in the air. Wendy was in the air, not
what if
suspended.
She really did, though? You know what I mean? Like, what
I didn't
if
even
she
consider
did.
That possibility.
Seriously.
I thought they were just assholes.
Can you imagine? I often think to myself, like, what would happen if I really saw an alien? Like, my husband is upset.
You often think to yourself?
Yeah.
Is that what you
because
just said out loud in the world?
So, in order
come
to go
on,
to
man.
Sleep, all he does is watch UFO shit from, like, YouTube from, like, the
70s. Yeah, and then our ads for our television show pop up, and we're like, hey, don't skip this video.
he's like,
all I want is a moment where you guys are not
screaming
at me.
In my face. Yeah, but I always, and he says, like, he'll be like, wouldn't that be amazing, though, right, if we saw one? And I'm like, no, because then you've seen it. You know what you've seen. No one will believe you. If you share it with anyone, they'll think you're crazy. You know what I mean? So what do? You live with that secret for their whole life?
And then if you do catch one and turn it over, then the government's just going to cut it to ribbons.
Yeah, you know. Wait a second. Is that what would have happened to E.T. had he been cut? They would have cut him.
They would have cut him open.
Used him for parts.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, not parts.
They would have ripped him open to see what's in it.
E.T. confetti what type of situation.
Yeah.
And remember Daryl Hannah from Splash? That wasn't going well for her either. She was not at all.
Starman. Put her in that filthy tank.
Anybody that comes down to Earth who's not supposed to be here.
Poor Tom Hanks definitely just had to hold his balls in the tank next to her because they thought he was a fish.
That was tough.
I am not a fish.
Yeah, yeah. Great performance.
So
and a Eugene Levy, I believe, in a cast. Remember?
Yeah, Eugene Levy was a scientist. he was the scientist.
I
can prove that mermaids exist.
That's a really good Eugene Levy.
It's not a good one at all.
Yes, it is. That's giving Lennon a run for her money. I'm no mimic.
Celebrities.
Only the barista who just gave you your juice.
That person could be famous. They're in Los Angeles. It's a closet of dreams in Los Angeles. You could develop that impersonation now. It's almost like you're betting on stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to get famous? So you're going to perfect that so that you could be right out of the gate with it.
Yes. I did want to do like a YouTube video of impressions of all of our crew members. Just like back to back.
Would have been amazing.
All of our camera ops and script supervisor and all that stuff. But
she doesn't like to perform on cue. She's not my dancing monkey is what I've been told.
Do it.
I don't think I ever said those words.
She won't do it though. Do me.
Do what? I already did you. You didn't even notice because it was so good.
What do you mean?
The audience didn't. They thought it was you talking, repeating yourself. No, they didn't. Come on.
Rude.
You asked me to do it, you weirdo.
Rude. I love it. I'm such a narcissist.
Do you ever accidentally do it back to people without realizing that you're doing it? Like if someone has a really strong affectation.
I do stare way too long. I'm like taking people in. Like
Lennon has what we call, in fact, Larry Wilmore played our
put words
OBGYN,
on it.
And he said something. We were explaining about Lennon's stare face. Yeah, yes. Can you imagine? No, on the side. Larry Wilmore checks out.
Let's play a game.
Yeah. Hey, can I see your badge? No big deal.
Put your legs in these.
Yeah. Don't worry. I used to do this for Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac. Oh, too soon. He's dead.
That might be too soon.
Are you guys going to Bernie Mac this year?
That's what at first I
That's
thought you
way
said.
Too soon. But he said, he goes, well, Lennon, you and I said, yeah, Lennon stares at people and everyone thinks that she hates them. And he said, well, you and I, Lennon, have something that I like to call the judgmental resting face.
It's true.
Oh.
Your resting face looks like you're judging, but you're not. You're just looking at
them.
Just
listening. I'm just really listening.
It's the look that everyone's going to start having while they're wearing their Google Glass.
Yes.
Because they're basically assessing you in ways that you're not aware of.
Right, right. And just like getting right. Yeah, Lennon can like see into your soul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too busy talking that I don't, I meet 10 people a day. I don't even remember meeting them. It's like lost time, you know?
And all
I'm
day
like,
long.
And I'm like, I think you and your wife should go for that second kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we're already into it.
In 5 seconds.
Do you remember though when earpieces first came on? Mm-hmm. I had just moved to New York and I was doing like a workshop at Columbia. And I remember walking through the center mall and this dude was just like talking to no one.
Oh, yeah. You thought
and
they
I
were
was like, that's
running.
A, I mean, it yeah. made sense on the streets of New York, another just crazy person talking into the air. But then I realized that he was having a conversation. He was listening to his ear. What do they call them? Totally Bluetooths.
What if he was a crazy guy, but he just coincidentally was talking to another crazy guy? I mean, there's nothing to say that he wasn't.
That's true.
He might have just been like someone else to listen, and then that guy had his own series.
They both had working cell phone plans.
Yeah. Just like a pay per month, like by the minute type of situation.
And they were unhappy about the numbers coming in.
I never see headphones anymore. I mean, they are a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Apple made a really great one that I loved, and then they just stopped. And then like the whole like Bluetooth earpiece
market went away.
Just completely went away. I guess because people just started using headphones. I just use my headphone.
Yeah.
I just use the one headphone.
Yeah. And those aren't very comfortable in your ear, is it?
Actually, I don't mind them. These depends
on your ear canal shape.
We'd love to get involved in the shape of your ear canal before.
Do you want
to
take a look?
That would be great.
Just get in there.
Get in there.
I actually have, and I don't mean to turn anyone on, I have really tight ear holes.
Do you?
I do.
Really? How'd you find that out? Someone trying to fuck your ear?
You're not going to get that in there, but you can try. You can try. I'll just eat while you're doing it.
You know, they have monkeys that They have monkeys. I don't know who they is. But you know, you always
world.
About
you're talking about the like,
criminally
crazy
insane
world.
People. They have money.
This crazy world.
This all crazy world. They have
no,
monkeys.
No, there will be monkeys that'll like come up and try to fuck your ear hole.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like Great Adventure Safaris, you need to be careful. Those monkeys climb in your car and try to have sex with your ear.
They're just trying to branch out. They're so tired of monkey pussy.
Wait, is there a ride at Great Adventure where you can get on like a car and monkeys can come up and get on your head?
Yeah. Have you been in Jersey? There
no, no,
was
no. That's
you would
crazy.
Go to Great Adventure and then there would be it was a Great Adventure? Yeah. And then be like Wild Safari. And they would have rented that if maybe it was like an old soccer field, you'd ride through and there'd be like all sorts of wild animals that could come up to your
Kyle's
car.
Saying yes.
You must be this tall to get fucked in the ear by a monkey.
Yes.
That is crazy.
But bad shit always happened at Great Adventures. Like every year, and there were a lot in New Jersey, every year they'd be like, oh, somebody's face went up in flames at the Haunted Mansion. Like they never, ever shut it down.
No,
ever.
No, no.
And my dad would be, every spring, my dad would be like, come on, kids, let's go to Great Adventure. And my brother and I would be in the backseat like, we don't want to die today.
I don't want to get die or fucked in the ear.
They must have had great lawyers.
Six Flags is so fun, though. I remember thinking that was like the shit.
Yeah, because you could get your picture taken
you're by
in
yourself.
Olden days clothes.
You could record yourself singing the Beatles with all your friends.
Right. You mm-hmm. could do a log flume type situation, which was always yes. fun to get wet, your clothes wet that shouldn't be wet.
Go upside down really fast.
Remember do you remember the ad? Was it out here of where that?
Yeah, the old bald guy that was obviously someone in heavy makeup.
Yeah,
Matt Walsh and I. Thought that man was Uncle Junior from The Sopranos. No joke.
Totally. I totally see that.
We thought that. And then someone was like, guys, how could he move like that? He's like an 85-year-old man.
But that's what's so remarkable about it. That's what Six Flags Doug's does to Uncle Junior, is that it just makes him bust a move.
Get smart, though. You know what I mean? We were like, you're right. It makes a very good point.
I would love to find out if that person was a young man, a young woman, how old they were.
Yeah.
Like I just can't.
You can't place it.
My girlfriend has that person as a refrigerator magnet.
What? Why?
Why not?
Well, you're right. Oh. YOLO. YOLO.
I don't
comfortable.
I found that my ear holes were very small because I have to wear earpieces when I'm hosting shows.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard
Stop.
To keep them
you're
in.
You're fucking your own ear with your finger Shut right up. Now while we look like you.
Oh, like, get in there.
You want
clean it out. Clean
Wait,
it out.
Every podcast, you
two
find
fingers.
A way to bring up Runyon Canyon and how tiny your ear holes are. So
you've listened to the show. You listen to the show.
Fuck your own ear while we're here.
Your friend Watch Wendy totally it. Levitated because she float over here and fuck this ear because that'd be pretty sweet.
Take it to the trans level.
Here in Runyon Canyon. I call my ear Runyon Canyon. You can walk your dog up it, fuck
All right,
it,
that's...
cry up it, whatever you want.
You can cry up it. They should do that as like a Los Angeles like tourist commercial. Just have like you know where they cut it like to the fat kid from Modern Family to like someone to you at Runyon Canyon. So it's like you can cry up it.
You know? Can cry up it. Runyon Canyon. We should just make all
the just like
will your dreams go take a break.
Take a break. Maybe throw themselves on the cliff.
I used to watch this show called Starting Over, which was on NBC every day at noon for a really long time. And it was a documentary about women coming to live in a house together to get counseling.
Yes, I remember that.
And it was shot in Los Angeles. And a lot of their exercises, I think, happened in Runyon Canyon.
Very possibly.
And they would have to like walk up a hill. And that would be like their exercise. And they would be like, I can't do it, Rhonda. You know? And then... And Rhonda
Lennon
wouldn't be
loves
like
this dark shit on television. The reality shows, the darker they can be, the more
no,
you like
I
it.
Like to see people who are really good at their jobs doing them.
Or that guy from Intervention is like,
you know, the best cry ever. That's terrible. That's too sad. I had to stop watching that because that was real people going through crazy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy shit.
Yeah, I couldn't watch Intervention either because I did quit drinking a long time ago, and it was just too like. This should not be for public consumption.
No.
This is so personal.
That is not right.
But I guess maybe, you know, another argument that people might go, like, yeah, but it helps people to realize. I go, yeah, but I don't know if that's what really helps people. I don't think that people are watching, because Intervention is such a train wreck that I don't think.
I would be scared off having an intervention by watching. You know, I'd be like,
well,
I'm going to.
That's what those are like.
But maybe one of the people, like the family members, would be like, hey,
maybe I should do this.
This is a thing that is available to my son, and that kid got off, you know, I mean,
I really want to fix my life, and I get to be on television.
Yeah, it's like, great.
Why would you want to do that on television?
Dr. Drew, that man's probably the devil.
I don't
mimic, you know.
Is it, you know, Drew's a good guy. I just feel like it's a it's just weird to put that on TV. It's just weird because I feel like if it's. It was at the celebrity.
I think it started right normal, and then it became celebrity.
See, it should just be normal. I think it should just be normal. When it's celebrities, there's something about it that's like, well, now you're.
What about Kaneki from Greece, who I was like so obsessed with? God, and then that was just
dead.
He's Deadsville too.
He's Deadsville.
All I do is name check dead people on this show.
Dead checked.
Guess what? Jessica couldn't watch Grease 2. It made her feel sick.
Yes,
but she's
obsessed
obsessed with Kaneki.
Was Kaneki in Grease 2?
He's Grease 1.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But why Grease 2?
Wasn't Michelle Pfeiffer was
fucking
in
Michelle Pfeiffer. That was like her
Grease
first
2?
Big movie.
Yeah, and Adrian Zmed.
No,
Adrian Zmed.
I'm sorry. That movie, there was something wrong with it. I don't like
I
continuing
want a cool
stories.
Rider.
Was it because it was about motorcycles and not cars? Do you not like motorcycles?
There was that whole "I'm gonna bowl tonight."
Bowling's great.
There was the one about the calendar.
No,
girl.
Reproduction. Was
Why
it about?
Why do you guys know this movie so well?
It was an amazing
this is really
movie.
Good.
Why does it make you feel
good?
Sick?
No,
any
it's gross.
Sequel.
That tell you a true story about Grease 2.
Yes.
Please.
I was in New York when September 11th happened.
Yes, that's where we.
I was on a plane and I was at JFK and I was supposed to go back to Los Angeles.
Oh,
and this,
wait,
this
that day
the,
you were
when
in
it
the
happened,
airport? Oh,
when it happened,
God.
I was on a plane and then we were at the
what?
Gate.
What?
And they got us off and it was a whole crazy thing. And you couldn't get back into the city, so I ended up in Brooklyn. I was working on a show and this girl who also worked on the show, she and her boyfriend lived in Brooklyn or Queens. They lived in Queens, and so I ended up in Queens. And that night, I was so freaked out, as everyone was.
When you were on a
tremendous
plane.
Every channel was showing the planes crashing into the towers.
Yes, yes,
every channel.
Yes.
One channel
showed Grease.
Might have been like Lifetime or something, was showing Grease 2.
That's so
And I've never been more happy. Just to tie this around, I think the last time I told that story was on the Rainn Wilson episode, which is when we also learned that we shouldn't eat on the podcast.
That's cool.
Wow.
Shit's connected, you guys.
Boom.
Dude, my friend Wendy totally levitated.
I just wait. I'm levitating right now, guys.
So I have a really, as much as I saw Grease 2 at a drive-in when I was a kid.
What?
But I have drive-ins where like you could drive and watch a movie in your car.
Remember
which
that?
I,
remember
guess
those days,
what?
Kids?
Nobody wants to do that. I did that as a fun thing like in Tennessee the other summer and I was like this
not
is
as
not
an adult you don't want to do that as an adult.
I don't think you ever want to see
you
a
might
movie
have though when TVs didn't
car.
Used to be bigger than like 16 inches.
Chris isn't 75 years old.
No, we're
young
we're
man.
All but
let's
we're
go
all
to Six Flags.
it's you
hoping you guys would figure
it's
out before
you.
I was good on the Sopranos too.
No,
I pull off a wig.
A wig. And you're just really bald
just
and a really old man.
But what's wrong with drive-ins? I mean, that's where you can get the HJs. You can't
do
get
an
HJ
in the woods or in a finished basement.
Running canyon.
But you don't want to do it while there's like other people next door.
If someone was getting
some
an HJ
like
while they were walking up Runyon Canyon, I would not be surprised.
No,
I would be like,
either.
This belongs here.
Again, that's everything that happens on a subway happens in Runyon Canyon.
It's true. So many people get jerked off
because we don't.
Subways.
We don't have a subway here. We have a subway here, but we don't really have a subway here because it doesn't go that.
Have you ever
places.
Been inside of it?
I did for No Pants Day.
Oh, yeah. And what was
it's
your
very
experience?
Nice actually. The
yeah,
subway
it
is very nice.
It's nice, and for a while, I guess it was an honor system, so it was just kind of like a free to the city.
It just
That's
it doesn't
weird.
It doesn't go that many places,
and it goes slowly.
And,
I would think
and,
too,
and also. And it's funny because I have no problem riding the BART in San Francisco.
Right.
But here, for some reason, I'm like, oh, underground? L.A.? I don't know.
Right. What do we think is going to happen under there?
I don't know.
What do you mean? It's earthquake.
Oh, but there's earthquakes in San Francisco,
USA.
Too. So that's why I don't know why it doesn't bother
it's weird.
Me up there. But
not,
here,
but L.A. is like, they're always saying it's going to break off and fall into the ocean, right? San Francisco, you don't hear that about.
No, you just
or
hear
is
it
the whole
it
of
being
California?
The San Francisco treat.
Is
know?
It the whole of
what you hear?
That's all you hear.
That's right.
No, that's right.
Most
Cerrone.
Current
San
reference.
Francisco is not its own treat.
Right, right
isn't it?
That logic is
it?
Flawed.
Isn't it though?
Okay. I'll allow it.
Okay. Fair enough. You know what scene I always remember is from Superman, and I don't know if this was one, two. Now Superman,
I will
the
tell
one
you
with
which one
those
it was.
The Superman movie with those guys who wear the black
That's
clothes.
Superman 2. That was General Zod.
That makes me feel sick. Those guys make me feel sick.
So you hate sequels is what we're finding out.
That makes me feel sequels. Sick. I do. I hate sequels.
But that was, okay, if this makes you feel better, that was originally not supposed to be a sequel. That was all supposed to be part of the same movie, and then they broke it off.
Because it was too much
Los Angeles will someday.
That's crazy. Maybe that's why I felt so like, what is this? Maybe my inner sense of plot and structure was
rebelling. Oh, yes, because that's our strength.
Yes.
Lie and plot
General Zod and his minions were criminals on Krypton. They were sent to the Phantom Zone. The Phantom Zone was released by a nuclear explosion in space because Superman save Lois Lane from the Eiffel Tower bomb.
Coming back.
And then, you know, what is there to figure out? The yellow sun gives them
powers. Yeah. What I didn't like is their outfits. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that woman's hair.
Oh, that woman was phenomenal.
And I didn't like their makeup. But what I do remember from Superman 1 is when, remember, was it Lois? They had the earthquake and
she
people are falling
dirt.
In. That's what I, the only image I have of what it will be like when there's an earthquake is that.
That was on the edge of it.
That was a pretty horrifying.
Were they in Los Angeles? Where was that happening?
They were in like Palmdale. Like they were in somewhere. They were on the outskirts of Los Angeles.
It's terrifying though, right? What happened? She falls in?
He grabs her, right?
She falls, like the earth opens up behind her and her car falls in.
Yeah.
And also it's a dirty 70s car.
Sure.
And so it just feels creepier and greasier. And then the earth starts to come in on top of her and she's like, ah. And then the earth basically just like chokes her out and she dies. And then Superman, even though Jor-El says don't mess with human history and time, he flies around the earth so fast that in the other direction.
With her dead body.
Nope, not with her dead body. He reverses time.
Now
you'd think if you spun the earth in the other direction, things like, well, all of the platelets would smash into one another.
Right.
And, you know, but that didn't happen. Instead, time just went backwards.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so she reemerged and then he.
But did he pay the price for that later?
Not really. It was great, actually. He helped everyone out. Yeah, so his father was just being a fucking oppressive dickhead.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. And in fact, it's really great to fuck with time if you can make things cooler.
His human dad?
No, Jor-El. His Kryptonian dad.
Did he not call him dad? He calls him Jor-El? That sounds inappropriate.
Well, but he didn't really know Jor-El because he was raised
by... He was sent down as a baby.
Yeah, he was raised by the parents.
Raised by John Schneider.
He was yes. He was raised by Glenn Ford in the original.
But
movie.
On TV, he's raised by one of the Dukes of Hazzard. Is that right?
John Schneider,
who I just said.
John Schneider.
Did you say John Schneider? Oh, you did say John Schneider. Or. Because
I'm obsessed with the Dukes of Hazzard.
Or Kevin Costner in Man of Steel was also.
Do you consider that one of the real part of the canon?
It's a part of the timeline.
It's part of the timeline. Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely a part of the timeline.
Because I didn't even remember, as a layperson, I did not even remember that Kevin Costner movie existed.
Well, I wouldn't call it a Kevin Costner movie, but they... But they,
like,
by the way,
Waterworld is part of the Superman trilogy.
Came out like a couple years ago, right? Man of Steel.
Last year.
Oh, it did.
That's why you didn't see it.
I feel like Kevin Costner maybe 1 year ago said, "All right, I'll do movies again, but you have to release all 9 of them within a 6-week period
that's
of each
true.
Other."
That's true. That Jack Ryan wasn't that
draft
one?
Draft Day. There's like draft all these.
Yeah, suddenly he's back, but it's like we didn't ask for him to be back, and like he's jamming himself into our ear canals.
like a
spider
monkey. He's
pulling a Sandman. You know what I mean? He's just like, ooh, sand of the eye. I'm in 9 movies.
Oh my
and
God!
You watched
it's Kevin Costner. God
yeah,
damn
you
it!
Watched them all.
God damn it!
Yeah.
The second Superman 2. Initially, Superman was a Richard Donner film, and then this whole drama happened, and this other director came in. Richard, do you remember what his name was, Kyle?
Dreyfuss.
Not Richard. Anyway, this other director came in and put in all these wacky elements to it. And so I loved Superman 2. As an adult, I loved Superman, the motion picture. As a kid, I loved Superman 2 because it was all crazier and silly.
Right.
But there's literally a scene where... You've just watched these three Kryptonian gods kill what they think is murder Superman and destroy a city. And all these people are like, hey, killed Superman, let's get him. And they start picking up pipes off the street.
Yeah.
Like they're going to have any effect on.
Right.
That guy added all that shit.
And he was not a true like fan. The guy who took over and added that stuff. He wasn't like a real comic book guy.
I guess not.
He was not
He just added a... Richard Lester.
That's a terrible name.
Right? You're judging him based on his name.
But it's like the British version of that name, right? It's like L-E-I-C-E-S.
Leicester?
Yes.
Like
T-E-R?
Yeah, like Leicester just, Square.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Gross.
Or and you don't like
those three?
Square?
You know those? There's a photo of the three of those three gods that looks identical to an album cover from 3 Seconds to Mars.
30 Seconds to Mars.
That's it. 30 Seconds to Mars.
Or is 3 Seconds to Mars the little person version of 30 Seconds to Mars?
Yes, right. Yes, Jared Leto's band. It's like identical, back to back.
I can support that.
Okay, I'm
I love General Zod. That was Terrence Stamp. He's fucking badass. Yes,
what did he go on to
the
do?
The Limey.
Everything.
He's fucking great.
Really?
He's badass.
All right, guys. I'm gonna
that big guy was also, I think, in a bunch of one James Bond, right? Didn't he play the bad guy?
That was Richard. Yeah, that was. No. Was that Richard Kiel? Was Richard Kiel non? Did he play non?
Who played Jaws? No,
were they
no
all-
Jaws was Richard Kiel.
That's a different guy.
I don't think, no, Richard Kiel was not Non. Non was another guy
he might have been
who I think also might have died.
Were they all effing each other, those three?
They were probably totally effing each
other. But I'm serious. They seemed like they had some, maybe that's part of what made me feel sick.
They
like,
were brother and sister, right?
I don't think they were brother
they?
And sister. I think they were just minions of Zod.
I see. Just like, but they seemed to get off on it. That's the, you know what I mean? About like crushing things. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a part where she was like, let me at them, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's something weird. Yeah, it was almost like brother, sister, but also maybe they do it to each other.
They do it to each other?
Like Jessica Kryptonite often City, thinks you know? That people are doing it to each other.
Do you really?
Yeah,
is
behind the scenes.
Is that true?
Well, you always think people have sexual malintentions.
But you know how it is when you're working with...
malintentions?
It's true.
Do I really? Like, I'm always
yeah.
like...
There's a bunch of people that you think are hot for you.
No,
which
I
is
don't.
A lot of them are
no.
it, are true because you've told me a bunch of stories about certain people that
no.
are hot for you.
Especially that guy who pretended to be your gynecologist because he wanted to see
you wanted to see down your
no,
canal.
Just kidding.
And also,
you hear out of your vagina?
I can't think of one person. Yes, I hear out of it.
Oh my God. I've heard about 30 stories.
No. Maybe like the creepy guy like who does my cleaning, like my dry cleaning or something.
I've never heard that one. That's a new one.
No, the only people that ever give me the look is like a...
So many people give you the look.
No, is like a man in like in the
salt and pepper.
In his 60s, late 60s, looks at me like he could take me as his fourth wife.
When Jess and I walk around New York City, yeah. We get 100% the opposite people attracted to us.
with me, so it's like a businessman, but like not a hot businessman. Like somebody definitely past his prime.
But he's doing well for himself. He's
sure,
probably got
he's got a nice
homes.
Nest egg, but yeah,
sure.
But yes. he wants to like take me as his fourth wife, and it'd be a really sad existence.
I walk by like a gyro cart, and the guy is like,
"Hey, let me fuck that!"
You yeah, know,
like he's like
exactly.
wants to
oh, mean,
jump down
you
on
mean
top
gyros?
Of me. Yeah, gyro.
Like a gyro would
a
be
gyro.
Like a gyroscope. So he's selling gyroscopes.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, you know that section in New York, the gyros district.
The gyro district.
He's selling Middle Eastern gyroscopes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, you know what I mean. That place you go to get gyros.
Who did you find out about the guy who played Non?
It's the guy from Happy Gilmore, the other guy who isn't Richard Kiel. It's Jack O'Halloran.
Jack O'Halloran, and I think he's not alive anymore, right? Is
no,
he still alive?
Man, so
did he
many.
Have gigantism? Like,
oh,
yeah, that's
Kyle.
Sad.
Oh, right?
His heart exploded.
He had gigantism.
That's rude.
He's like a Burmese mountain dog. They don't live very long either.
It's really rude.
Rude.
It's rude. Because he may not be alive to do it to anyone anymore. And it's very,
true.
It's not cool of
I'm
you.
I'm telling you, it's really more of the costume supervisor I want to talk to on that movie. Because it's like, they just went to like, you know, TJ Maxx and got a bunch of pleather outfits and then put them in it.
Well, that was
and
the early 80s.
And weren't the men wearing like scarves?
Yes,
there was something
the
very
80s.
Euro trash about them.
Because it was the early 80s.
Oh
you were coming out
You've
of
always
70s.
Hated the Euro trash.
It's true.
Don't
it's
ever true. Watch the movie Xanadu then, because you would not enjoy the wardrobe
oh,
on that.
Oh,
no,
man.
No.
You didn't like that? Did you ever see it?
The 70s make me feel sick.
It was technically the 80s.
Who cares?
Well, because I'm
it
not.
Was like
I'm
the it was like late
keep,
70s, early 80s, right?
It was the early 80s because...
Yeah. That's the same as Solid Gold Time.
Yeah,
that's the
that's,
same
we've
as Xanadu.
Often said that if Lennon had, with you know, we all have our era that we were meant to be in.
Yeah.
Jessica was
Lennon,
like the turn of the century.
I was
like 1890s.
That's when you were supposed to be.
Type of time.
That's when she should have been 22.
Up to like the suffragist movement, you know, I would have been. I would have done. I wouldn't have marched, but I would have been like, "Here's some money."
You understand by now?
I'd be like, "Here's some money for marching."
You understand by now? You would have gotten cholera or something.
Yeah. Yes, I probably would have gotten one of those diseases where you cough blood into a
myriad of diseases where blood comes out of your mouth.
Out of your mouth when you're coughing. But Lennon was definitely like a solid gold backup.
I mean, I don't. Xanadu is a very delightful story of an artist who's not inspired. So one of Zeus's daughters, in the form of a laser muse,
gross,
basically convinces him by falling in love with him to open a skating rink.
Everyone's on roller skates. That's what I was about to say. Isn't everyone on, like Starlight Express? That's another musical that makes me sick. I don't need you to be on roller skates in a theater.
Were you bad at roller skating?
Dangerous.
Were you bad at roller skating?
No, but guess what? In New Jersey, if you go to a skating rink, you will get stabbed. And very often, my parents would be like, oh, there's someone's birthday party. You know, like, Angela Rosen's birthday party is at Skate 22. Like, we're dropping you off. And I'd be like, I will die tonight. Please don't leave me here. And then they drive away, and you're on Route 22, just like, this
skate
is where
it's all
going to
end. Was the best place.
It smells like feet, always.
Gwinnett County, Georgia.
The food was always terrible.
Yeah, all of the good things.
Ugh. And in no natural light? Why? Who says
what do you mean? It's like a dance party.
Because it's a disco. Skating is a much better nighttime
activity. Would you go to prom and be like, oh, let's turn on the sunlight? No, it's you got to be dark to enjoy the dance time.
Why do you want
to
ruin everyone's skate prom?
Listen, this is a sad story, but I loved roller skating so much that when I was 13, I had my birthday party there, and all my friends were embarrassed to come because everybody else, they called us all out to the center to do the hokey pokey, and it was me and six-year-old a five-year-old and a seven-year-old. And a 13-year-old.
Did you turn yourself around?
I did, and I threw it all in, and whatever the
hokey pokey said. But the rest of the party stayed hung back.
Well, yeah, no, I had to skate out to the center by myself. But I was happy to do it.
Lennon was an only child. Her parents didn't tell her that there was no.
There was supposed to be shame.
Yeah, no shame in her life. None. Still to this day.
There is a little bit.
When
of
I was, I remembered roller skating as a kid, and when I was 16, I was dating a girl, and she said, "Let's go to this roller skating rink in Glendale," and I was like, "Okay."
Wait, you grew up here, Chris?
I moved out here my senior year of high school.
Okay, wow.
And
immediately got a girlfriend. Was that a hard?
Of course, you did.
I don't know how that happened, actually,
Chris. Because
you're
150%
happy with being yourself,
young Jason Priestley.
No.
Yes.
I look like a weird version of Emilio Estevez.
I disagree.
No way.
Now, where did you move from?
I was living in Denver at the time. I grew up in Memphis primarily. Oh,
wow.
Other side of the track.
So that's some, you're almost like foreign at that point.
A little bit.
You move in, senior year.
To acclimate.
It's like fucking Karate Kid.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's exactly like Karate Kid starring a young Jason Priestley.
No, it was Ralph Macchio and William Zabka.
But if we did a remake, went back in time Superman style and had
if
Jason
we did a remake
Priestley
now, Jason
it.
Priestley would have to play the evil dojo master, John Kreese.
Yeah, that's true.
And my Dennis, the Scottish man would be your teacher.
Now it's shedding some light.
Yes, would be Mr. Miyagi.
Okay, so let's play this out. So you as Scottish Miyagi, as Mikagi, as Macagi, you tell me, like, I'll be like, God damn it, Mr. Macagi, you just had me wax all your cars and paint your house. So I haven't learned one bit of fucking karate. I say fucking because it's contemporary.
Yeah, it's going to be on HBO. Yeah. So
now you have to respond as Mr. Macagi.
And then I would slowly stare at you for 30 seconds, which I won't do now. Mm-hmm. And then I would be like, hurrah! Right?
Right. Yep.
And then we would start doing karate moves.
Catch a fly with your chopsticks.
And then you would find out that my wife died.
But then I want you to talk to me as Scottish Mr. Miyagi.
See, she won't do it. Chris, what you tried to do secretly was to get her to do something, but she won't.
I was doing that we're just listening to our voices, but
Lennon is an only
child. Use your brain. We don't have to fill every moment with voices.
God damn it, Mr. Macagi, I'm getting my ass kicked all over.
She won't.
Thank
do
you
it.
So much for bringing this gi that has the Scottish flag on
she
it.
She won't.
Oh,
do it.
Ralph.
That's all she had. That hurt her.
So you were doing Scottish Mr. Miyagi identifying Ralph Macchio's actual name.
What should I call you? Jason?
Daniel, son.
Oh, I was going to call you Jason Priestley.
If I was teaching this improv class, I would be giving you both Fs. And then I would suggest both of you.
We never
get
fantastic.
No,
I'd suggest that both you stay in your PR jobs.
And I suggest that you stick it straight up your butthole.
I'm gonna
Nailed it. Nailed it.
Listen.
You can take your F and you can put it up all three of your holes.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, Mr. McGoggy.
But you see, she did it when she wanted to, not when you asked her to.
So basically, she's like a cat.
Yes. Yes, Lennon is like a cat. Yes, and I'm like
You're like a rescue schnauzer. You're like a sweet rescue schnauzer.
A real fucked up schnauzer.
Jessica does have
a rescue. Don't touch her neck. She'll fucking freak out.
Yeah, don't freak out.
Don't.
I'm like patchy, like I've lost hair, and they don't know why. And they're like, we gave her the medicine. It's not helping. Yeah, because I just like itched myself to death.
Just put more meat down. She'll eat it. She'll know she's loved.
Yeah, that's how it works between the two of us.
We're just a cat and an old rescue schnauzer.
Chris, you and your partner... Mm-hmm. Who is the rescue schnauzer and who's the cat?
Oh, wow. That's a really great question.
Yeah.
I think I am the rescue schnauzer.
Schnauzer. I knew it.
No.
What?
I'm the cat.
Really?
I think I'm the cat. I think Chloe's the rescue schnauzer.
Interesting.
Yeah. Why do you think that?
Because I feel like my moods are very selfish the way a cat's are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like... Chloe's super fun and always trying to keep it fun and light, but if you come at her kind of the wrong way, she freaks out.
Yeah.
I think I'm definitely the cat, and I think she's definitely the rescue.
Listen,
schnauzer.
There's not a good or bad to either of it. It's a yin and a yang.
You balance each
both.
Other out.
Yeah.
I just feel like the term rescue schnauzer, though, feels like it's rough.
It's a rough one, but they're wonderful.
Where a cat just to be a cat, because I guess... We just assume that innately cats are kind of like, nah, go fuck yourself. You know, like,
they are. They don't need it. They don't need the approval.
Do you feel like you need approval?
Yeah, a little bit. It's nice to hear I'm good at things.
Jesus Christ.
I like people that like it when I do things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
How did you guys meet? Was it UCB?
Yeah, we met at UCB in New York, but weirdly, we'd been crossing each other's paths because my husband's a playwright and Lennon came to New York with dreams of being the next Meryl Streep.
They're still alive.
Starring in
those
the Seagull.
So still alive.
So she was like an intern. Seagull. What were you, Lennon? Intern at the...
I waited tables at the Bull Moose Saloon, and then part-time I worked at the O'Neill Playwrights Conference as an intern. And then
you.
The summer I went and... up to Waterford, Connecticut, and watched all these amazing plays and stuff. And Dan O'Brien, who Jess is married to, was there. So I met her that summer.
So would I have met you there?
Yeah, we met.
I remember I was wearing a pair of pedal pushers, which I thought were like...
That's weird.
I'm going to throw these on and see what sticks.
That was the early 2000s.
It was. It wasn't a great look. But anyway, and then we were at the UCB. We weren't performing together.
Jess was already there. She was on Mother with all those amazing people that mm-hmm. you know, John Daly, Mantzoukas, Scott Armstrong, etc.
Yeah, and then we would see each other from across a crowded room and everything, and I loved Lennon's work. She was so funny. And then I saw her do her one woman show in LA and I was so... I thought she was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. That Brett Gelman was sitting next to me and I had to physically give him dead arms every 5 minutes just to express... You know when you're it doesn't happen very often, but you laugh so hard you need to physically express it to the person next to you.
Yeah.
Like, this is happening! And so that happened, and I decided I would start to pursue her much in the way you would court somebody in the olden days. So
or like
I was
the
slow.
Plot of A Single White Female.
Exactly. Very similar. Or Mimic.
Or yeah. Mimic.
It's like if Mimic meets Single White Female, that's
Bridget
what I was doing
Fonda
to her.
Too.
Yeah, what happened to her?
She was great.
She was great.
I Googled her recently.
Why?
Because we were thinking about hiring people. And I was looking at different people and how their faces had...
I'll tell you who fucked her face up.
Who?
Daryl Hannah.
Oh, did she?
Splash.
Did she get a lot of the old...
a lot of
something. The PS? The
yeah.
Plastic?
Yeah, a lot of it.
She's
happened.
A cat.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, human cat.
No, she's a fish. And if you submerge her in water, then
mermaids
the tail...
Mermaids are real.
Yeah, the tail comes out.
The tail's out.
Anyway, but yeah, so then we started writing together when Lennon moved to LA, or came out for pilot season, and
pilot season's the best.
Isn't it the best?
Isn't it the best? We just all come out here and we just like
it's
levitate.
So great. Right. Levitate. Cry ourselves to sleep.
I feel like
while
I would have
floating.
I feel like there were pilot seasons where I had a much better chance of levitating than booking a pilot.
Yeah. Well, you were already out here though, right? Or did you go back to New York?
No.
Did you ever go back to New York?
No, I know. I only lived in New York for... Actually, I lived in New York just during that time. I had moved to New York in August of 2011, and I was doing a show there, and I was there until February, March of 2001, and I was there until March of 2002.
That's a tough time to be in NYC.
That was a real intense window.
I can't understand why you wouldn't want to go back.
Yeah.
I really like New York, but there's something about... I like how spread out LA is. I like that I can see the sky, and I like the weather. I'm sorry, maybe that makes me shallow, but I just like the fact that it's sunny most of the time.
Why wouldn't you? Yes,
I need that. I've lived all over the country, and I get it. I've had enough weather in my life. I enjoy having a very predictable, moderate.
Me too. It makes you happier to see the sun.
It makes me happier.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, don't you want some kind of weather?
I don't. No. I can deal with never ever seeing cold, rain, nothing. I don't need the moods.
Yeah.
I've got them all inside.
You know, when it doesn't, when is it going to rain? Like someone said it might rain tomorrow. I was like, oh, and they go, no, we really need it. I'm like, can't we just take water from some other city?
Exactly. Can't you just siphon it from somewhere else?
Can't we just steal?
Yeah.
Guys, we're right on an ocean. How come we cannot use that water?
Yeah, exactly. This guy's got progressive thoughts.
No one thought of that yet.
Listen, I'll vote for you for mayor of Runyon Canyon.
I'm running. Up Runyon Canyon. And for mayor. I'll run for your votes. I think you could just establish you could just be... There, you know, there probably is some annoying person who is like, well, they call me the mayor of Runyon Canyon because
He's probably the same guy who has like a parrot on his shoulder and it's just like, or like a weird ferret who like lives in his pocket.
Parrot
guy. Do you guys remember Bob Ross?
Of course, the painter.
Do you remember Peapod the Pocket Squirrel?
No.
There were a couple episodes where Bob had this tiny baby squirrel that he had found, a rescue squirrel that he would keep in his pocket that he called Peapod the Pocket Squirrel. And while he would paint, the Peapod would just sit in there. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I like to imagine that the squirrel had burrowed into Bob Ross and that there was just nothing inside.
Like stuffing?
And the squirrel just lived in there. Yeah. There was a family.
Yeah. Yeah, Peapod the Pocket Squirrel.
I don't remember that at all.
Very few episodes. I don't know why they made such an impression on me, but it didn't make me feel sick.
Did you watch it regularly?
I did. I found it very calming. My brother really liked
Bob Ross. Now, how did Bob Ross's aesthetic not make you... Because you did seem to not like 70s stuff, and he was kind of a 70s looking.
It's weird, because that... I loved Bob Ross. I loved Three's Company, because I really wanted to like live in that San Diego world. I thought that was my... I have always wanted to end up in California, I think, secretly. Because like the idea of like...
Well, it's not secret now. You
again,
live here.
Yeah, right? It's not secret. But like throwing on your roller skates and hitting the beach is a very different situation than doing it in a closed...
I don't want you to get upset. I just feel like
arena.
I just want you to be accountable for what you said. Okay, you're right.
It's
why she lives in Santa Monica and not in Venice.
Yeah. Only difference... The only thing I could not do of the 70s were those short shorts. I don't look good in a short. Lennon
just totally climbing up the vag, those shorts.
You had to have what it takes, and I didn't, and I don't, and I never will.
You have Lennon, a lot I'm going for you,
but
young lady.
I cannot wear, but you can admit, as my best friend,
I've never seen you in a pair of shorts,
and you never will.
Very rarely a mini.
Nope, you never will. You don't want to see that. America doesn't want to see it.
I don't want to see that.
But there was that look in the late 70s, early 80s was super short shorts and then like weird, shiny, nude hose.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which,
suntan.
By the way, we shouldn't...
Suntan color.
Listen, we've had to put a woman's butt, close-up butt, in a show of ours.
Yeah.
And we promised her that there would be no sign of cellulite anywhere. And you know how we did it? We got two pair of nude hose. We put them on. And by the way, her butt's never looked
Beyonce.
Better.
Beyonce... Double Spanx's. So if it's good enough for Beyonce.
Yeah, we found out that Beyonce wears double Spanx and she cuts the butt out. So she Spanx, you know. So
double Spanx?
She wears double Spanx and
that
then
means
she
two
then
layers
she takes
of Spanx.
like a scissors and
probably
somebody
she doesn't.
Cuts
one
the
scissors?
Butt out.
Someone yeah, else does it.
Scissors and cuts the butt out.
One side of a scissors.
This is the second time we've spoken about this in a podcast situation.
Scissors?
No, cutting the butt out. Of Beyonce's Spanx. Somewhere she doesn't listen to this comment.
No, she's not.
She's
I don't think
busy.
She's a Nerdist podcast listener.
No,
she might be.
Never
she
know.
Doesn't subscribe?
She might.
God, she's so beautiful, though, right, guys?
I don't know. We had a saying. We had a saying on here that invoked her name, because Jonah Ray, who's usually on the podcast, would always say like, "Oh, Beyonce doesn't go on any social media because she just doesn't, you know,
have to.
She doesn't have to, and it keeps her more sane." You know, he would say, "You have to be Beyonce," and then I would say, "I am Beyonce," which would basically is a mantra of saying like, "I'm Zen. I am Beyonce. Yeah. I am Beyonce.
I'm going to use that.
You can, as my own mantra.
You
say that as you're walking up Runyon Canyon.
Yeah, in my double Spanx, and I pass out.
Double Spanx sounds like a gross thing.
By the way, it's terrible. Oh, I tried it. I don't mean literally the thing.
I just mean that the name sounds like it would be a gross thing.
Yeah, it is. It's gross.
I did double Spanx.
Yeah, you don't want to get double Spanxed or do it to yourself or to other people.
I've never worn a Spanx. Are they great?
You know, they have them for men. You can smooth it all out. No, they're not great. But they're practical.
But
if you just push like a 10-pound human out of you, you got some extra skin to handle. You know what I mean?
Do you have kids?
Just had one, 6 months, and Lennon has a year old.
Mm-hmm.
Baby girls. They're also best friends. And they are straight up adorable.
What if, now are you guys going to be hurt if
what
they
if
end
we
up?
Were like, and they are the ugliest babies.
What if I said, no, they're really
They're
cute.
Straight ugly.
They're cute.
No.
And they are wild together. They're kind of outrageous. Babies, like, it's funny. I don't know what is going on in their brains, but when they see each other, they're just like, yes. Like, because they have to spend so much of their life with large people. So when they
it's
see
normal.
Another baby, it's
normal
exciting.
Baby development.
To be excited
yeah,
by another
when you
baby.
See another baby.
What do you think they think that baby
that
is?
That person is like me, maybe?
Yeah, a tiny person.
Yeah,
look at that sexy baby.
Yeah, ooh,
because
yeah.
She gets excited whenever she sees babies on like the sides of boxes or
anytime.
Yeah
Doesn't
pictures
have to be a live
yeah
baby.
In the doctor's office
yeah
mm-hmm.
So babies are selfish because they can't appreciate anything that's not them.
Yeah, that's true, right?
But they're
racist,
all about people. They're more about people than they are about toys at this age.
Yeah, and they're all about schnauzers. My baby looks like Don Rickles. She's got an enormous head and bald and the biggest mouth on the planet Earth. And a tiny little tuxedo. Yes. In fact, I should get her one. Oh, there's a whole thing where people put babies in suits. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
Like in a grown man-sized suit.
Babies and dogs in suits and monkeys in suits and like basically
How
anything.
How long has this been going on? Because it just reached my inbox.
It's since suits.
Wait, what do you mean?
Since suits.
The USA,
they've been putting things
USA
in suits.
USA show suits.
Yeah.
Yep.
Since that started airing.
Yeah.
Interesting. We have them to thank for it.
Hey, that's weird. Isn't your show on USA?
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Sure
it's
is.
Crazy.
It sure is. April 29th.
Lady suits. 10
p.m. Lady suits. We do wear a lot of blazers in the show.
You wear blazers all the time.
Not, I wouldn't say all the time.
We showed up to a college symposium both wearing black blazers.
Blazers.
It was weird.
Were people freaked out by this?
Well, we made a joke about it
because it was
ridiculous.
You know,
I feel like when you go to colleges, I'm sure you do this. You go to colleges a lot, yes, and perform? No?
Yes, to perform.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes they look, what? That sounds
Nothing.
Like...
Nothing. It just sounded creepy.
No,
you just
go to colleges a lot.
No, because
and you were very quick
like
to say,
really
no, no, no.
You do weird shit
yeah, to perform.
Like, to perform.
I just like looking at architecture.
Yeah, sure.
Of young female students.
You're just like in the cafeteria. Like,
but so you wore blazers, which basically might have tricked them into thinking that you were professor, like
yeah,
that you were
like,
giving them a lecture.
I feel sometimes when I'm at college, like they can feel my oldness. And to them, it's like my version of Sleepy Hollow that makes them feel sick.
But you know, the truth of the matter is if you're at a college and you're 28, you're still old to them. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no, and they're not interested. I found that they are interested in their college life, but like the rest of the world can go F itself. And that's great. That's how I was.
I fell into the trap. I fell into the adult trap a long time ago. Mike Furman and I used to tour, and I was like, oh, college kids will be like the best audience because they're so open-minded and you can say whatever you want.
No.
And you can't, because then what happens is you know, at that time, we're just people in our 30s swearing in front of children.
Yes.
Because they're not really used to it. They're not really used to grown-ups in front of them.
They don't like it. It makes them feel unsafe, like a dog. They don't know who's in charge.
They're like a little audience full of rescue schnauzers.
Yes, rescue schnauzers.
Yeah.
Between you and Mike, who's the rescue schnauzer? Who's the cat?
I think I'm the rescue schnauzer and Mike's the cat.
Okay, got it.
Mike's the best.
Yes, he is the nicest man in the world. In fact, God, that's where I first met you, is at his wedding. Where you were the best man.
I was the best man at Mike Furman's wedding.
You were fabulous at
it. Oh, thanks. It was a good wedding.
It was a great wedding.
I liked it. It was like, it was clean, like didn't take all day.
No,
they got in, they got
high
out.
High energy. It was like a great
Broadway show.
The it was not too over the top. The vows were really nice. They was very sweet.
They're both lovely, wonderful people.
The first thing you said was it was clean. What does that mean about the other weddings that you've been to?
No one was weird. There were no weird speeches, no awkward moments.
It was just like a real...
That's the best part of a wedding is when it gets messy.
And then their first dance... Well, in retrospect, but not to be at something like that. But
it can be a real...
And then they did this really great choreographed dance that was fantastic.
Which usually is really awkward, and everyone's like, I wish they hadn't done that.
No, but they crushed it.
In this case, they crushed it. I guess
but then you always have to tell them, like, not Mike and Donna, but in general, you have to tell people, like, oh, you really did it. But they really did it.
Yeah.
It was a nice wedding. Yeah. It was a really, and then it was just a party for the rest of the night.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Great for them.
Yeah. Nonstop party.
Now you sound angry about it for some reason. Did you wish something bad happened?
Like going on and on about how nice the wedding was.
I think it was like 45 seconds. I mean, I don't know if
it
felt like a long time.
Sorry. I don't really.
We look forward to your notes.
Really, really nice.
Are we gonna get notes on this?
Yeah, when we do this again.
We're in an improv class and she's teaching.
When we get back to that, let's start with something more aggressive in the beginning.
All right.
And then let's tell a specific story about what happened there.
Mike punched Donna with a cake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. Matt Besser.
Okay, never mind. Go back to what you were doing.
Okay. It was a nice wedding.
Yeah, it was a really nice
wedding. I'm sorry. I'm no good. You know, that's the other thing about improv that I never. There's also a type of televised improv, like when the whole Curb Your Enthusiasm, like, oh, it's a partially scripted show and people come in. So many of those shows I felt like would suffer from, like, an improv really does have to sort of play out and it sort of builds slowly, but so many of those shows would just go right to, like, and then I got fucked in the face in prison.
Yeah.
It was like, you just go crazy.
Yeah. Too soon, you blow it out. Yeah. You know how Lennon and I... Right, you don't know, Chris, because you're not there. I'm always watching you.
I'm in everyone.
We improvise. We don't know how to write, right? A TV show. We didn't know how to do it. And the idea of like a blank screen makes us terrified. So we improvise all the characters. We tape record ourselves. We transcribe it. Then that becomes the first draft of the show. And so now our writer's room, they come in and they watch us do that. And then they take away the transcript. But it's like a really weird process.
So you make your writers watch you improvise?
Yeah, and it's so awkward.
it's better, though, than it was before where we were just handing them, like, tapes of us. That was really weird. Because then now they can, like, it's better. We're better with an audience.
Yeah.
Do you not know how to type?
I don't ever type. I'm so anxious that
so
I
no shorts,
type.
No typing.
I don't type. I don't. And I
no
Lennon
more shorts.
Types. And I sit next to her and I sit touching her.
Would some Spanx help you type better?
No, I wouldn't be able to breathe.
Okay.
You don't want to sit down in a Spanx for too long. It's going to cut off your circulation.
A Spanx, scissors.
A scissors? What did I say?
She cuts out the butt with a scissors.
With a scissors. Well, how would you say it?
Scissors.
With some scissors, with scissors?
Really, you wouldn't say with a scissors.
No.
No.
A is singular and scissors are plural by nature.
Really, though?
Like pants.
But it's a pair. It's just a scissors.
A pair of scissors.
A pair of scissors.
But I feel like the blade is the scissor, right? And then so two of them
scissors.
Make the scissors.
Yeah,
do you scissoring. Say I put on a pants?
No.
Okay.
I put on the pants.
It's me, Mario. All right, guys. You guys have really taught me something about elocution.
Sorry, did we make you feel really bad?
No, not at all. But a scissors. Yeah, grab that scissors. All right, anyway.
So does the show premiere yet?
The show... When will this podcast air in
Katie,
the world?
When is this going up? It's going up in a time that is beneficial to your show. It's going up May 16th.
Well, it's already aired. And so
the
if you haven't been watching it, you got to get on board.
Yeah.
Tuesday
April 29th, it premieres.
Tuesday nights at 10.
I bet you can watch episodes
online. And
it's got
a lot of the people you may be familiar from the Nerdist canon. a lot of the UCB guys, almost every week, there's somebody guest starring from the UCB. Andy Daly, Bobby Moynihan, Manzooks.
Nice.
Ian Roberts takes his clothes off. We get them to strip.
Nice.
Yeah.
Keegan-Michael Key plays my love interest.
Zach Woods
plays our brother.
Oh, that's the show that Keegan was doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'd heard that he was doing... Okay, got it.
Yes,
got
he
it, got
plays
it.
The local cop who was my high school boyfriend, and he's now currently married to a Lindsay Sloan. Do you know Lindsay Sloan?
I know Lindsay Sloan, yeah.
She plays our nemesis, who we call Bird Bones. They're married.
And yeah, it's almost like a Gilmore Girls charming town, but filled with UCB freaks.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so if you're in the mood for something like that.
I did a short film with Lindsay Sloan in 1997, I think.
Oh my God.
With, it was me and Lindsay Sloan, and then Paul F. Tompkins was in it.
What?
And then a couple other people, yeah.
She's the greatest.
She was great, yeah.
She was she was on The Wonder Years. She played Fred. Well, Fred Savage directed all of our first show, BFF, but then he directed the first two episodes of this show. Or,
he's very nice, yeah, Fred Savage.
Very nice guy. And you know what? He's still attractive.
Yeah.
You know, as a child, he's kept the charm of the Fred Savage old.
The Fred Savage you know and love.
Yeah, exactly. We try to make sure he doesn't eat too much craft service because nobody likes a, you know, chubby child
now
actor.
Now that there are man Spanx, adult. Though.
That's true, but I don't want to let him know. It'll make him soft.
There aren't Spanx for your face. If you're gonna, I mean,
my
I'm just saying, if
God.
Anybody's gonna get overweight, it's not gonna make you thin.
There's no face Spanx. That's true.
It's not going to make you thin.
That is a really good. You should have pursued advertising because that would have really sold it.
What would it have sold?
What are you selling?
Sold you not eating craft service? Becoming a fat piece of shit because you can't Spanx your face. That's true, Lennon. Truth. Hashtag truth. Hashtag soft mash.
Before you eat that bowl of Cocoa Puffs, remember, you can't Spanx your face.
Is that what you said? There aren't Spanx for your face, or
you can't Spanx
your face. I think you said there aren't Spanx for your face.
There aren't Spanx for your face.
Was that the Scottish?
There it is again.
Says to
it's always when that. You don't want it,
Mr. Miyagi. I just want to pull off an In-N-Out burger.
She won't do it.
No, I'm sorry, Daniel son. I don't know what I'm doing now.
Terrible. But, that was Mexican.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah,
it was a combination. Of Mongolian,
terrible,
and the Northern Irish.
I think Scottish is the perfect nexus between Northern Irish and Mongolian. Yeah. I think any linguist would have to agree.
Yes.
Did you guys have Mongolian barbecue when you were growing up?
Yes, so good.
What the fuck was that? I don't think any Mongolian people actually ever ate that. You would just
sure they did
do a bunch
before
of
they
noodles.
Would invade the Mongols. Before they would invade,
they would just get a bunch of they mix-ins.
Before the Mongols would invade, there was a cafeteria style salad bar filled with meats and vegetables.
They would sugar snap peas.
They would design a sauce, sweet and sour,
it's
spicy.
It's like the Cold Stone Creamery of noodles.
Of food, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Gross.
And then they would.
And then it just disappeared.
On the grill.
You couldn't find Mongolian barbecue if you tried now. I think that all the Mongolians packed up their yurts and they went back.
I think they just, you know, realized that.
Their time was over? Yeah, time to go home.
Shut all this down.
Yeah, they pack it up.
They're packing it all up.
When they were doing broadcasts for the Olympics, you know that really tall woman, Mary, who does...
Oh, yeah.
Who has the big teeth.
All right.
Mm-hmm. She did a section on Siberia, which is filled...
With Mongolians.
Really? And, I mean, they just
call it barbecue.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I was getting to. But it was weird because it's like Eskimo people that
is weird.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
That's some Bering Strait kind of shit, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's always.
Did you ever think you would say that sentence?
No. I, by the way, don't even know what that means.
Where's the Bering Strait?
I don't know. High up north, they walked across it, right? Native Americans.
But they don't look like Russians in Siberia. That's what.
No.
That was what threw me.
Well, is it because the Mongols, right? They like.
You don't see them a lot because they're very Siberian. Come on, guys.
Oh, what? We'll give it to you.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. We'll give it to you.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's no Why did I have to take it punny? I don't know why I had to take it punny.
That's terrible.
I don't know why I had to take it punny.
Yeah.
So your show is on Tuesday
nights at 10 p.m.
Excellent.
It's going to make you laugh. It might make you cry.
If you're open for that.
There's a lot of blazers and a lot of funny, funny comedians in the show.
Make sure this is going up. Yeah. And the show is Playing House.
Playing House. We raise a baby together, but the baby doesn't come till episode 9. So
you're not just reenacting scenes from the show House?
No.
We are doing a little
pretending.
Bit of that.
No. I do have a limp in part of it.
You don't?
I don't.
Oh, you don't?
No.
What's up with that limp? He always has that thing? I never watched it.
Well, you know,
he's dying.
He had necrosis in one of his legs, and he almost lost his limb because he was kind
Boo-hoo.
Of a...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Well, that was part of the...
His thing.
But he was smarter than anybody in the whole world.
Yep, that's right.
I can't watch those shows because they'll be like, if you're hiccuping, you may have AIDS. Do you know what I mean? There's always like there's some rant, like an ER, you come, someone come in with a very random thing you might have when you're watching it. And then they're
she won't stop hiccuping. AIDS.
It's always like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there's one episode where, when Jennifer Morrison is like, she's a young doctor there, and this woman comes in with a cough, and then it's the big episode is that she has to tell this woman that she's going to die. And that's like the first time that she really has to do this. And the woman's just like, but I just have a cough. Like you see her kind breaking the news. And the woman's like, I just have a cough. And then it's always just that kind of thing where I think it maybe goes to a musical, like in the arms of the angel. Like it just like a musical montage. Just
stray cats, like going through the grates. Remember that? The ASPCA is using that Sarah McLachlan song.
Oh, they are.
You don't remember that terrible commercial where they're just like trying to get.
And
yeah, I remember it. I remember it.
Yeah, I don't know. Why but
during House, point. There are no, not no, a bunch of
And it's never lupus.
Yeah, it's never lupus.
Is it ever lupus on your
Feline
show?
Feline leukemia?
No, we have secret lupus.
No, we don't.
What a great name for a band.
No, we don't. I'm pregnant for 9 of the 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Are you, would you shoot around it or were you just pregnant for it?
No, I was really pregnant in the, I was pregnant. I was 8 months pregnant when we shot the pilot. And then for the first 9 episodes, I was fake pregnant, but pregnant on the show, but not
and
pregnant in real life.
And I was secret pregnant. 3 months pregnant in the pilot.
We shot the pilot.
And so
but you can't
the
tell.
First 3 months, it's still secret because you don't want, you don't tell people.
Right, you don't tell people. But I was throwing up all over the place and it was horrible.
So they just thought you were a complete alcoholic.
Yeah, basically.
What is she on?
And then I kept asking Lennon to order like extra steaks because I was like so hungry, but I couldn't tell anyone why. So I'd be like, Lennon, say you need another steak. She'd be like, oh my God. So everyone thought she was like a real pregnant diva, but it was really because she was eating for two or really four.
That's there really sweet. You know what she was doing?
Yeah.
She was throwing some extra steak under the table to her rescue schnauzer.
Yes, she was. She was, and I was
put
just
some more meat down.
Right
she'll learn that we love her soon.
Yeah, she'll learn to trust.
Are you guys on the tweets at all? Where people can find you?
We are, and we love to tweet back at people if it's nice. Some man told me I needed to wear more pantyhose, and you know what? He might have had a point.
From the 70s. He was obviously a child of.
Then I found out that I went on his tweets and he only tweeted to people that, to different women that they should wear hose. So I don't know what that was all about. He was from Sarasota, Florida.
That's very specific.
But yeah, I met Jessica _ St. Clair Horrible and Lennon is at Lennon Parm.
Is it Saint ST?
It's ST, yeah.
Stéclair. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica _ Stéclair.
Yes. And we really do like to write back. And hear what people liked or, you know. Yeah, just what they
just
liked.
Just what they liked.
Don't tell me what you didn't like. Don't tell me. I can't take it.
Don't tell me to wear pantyhose.
No, I'm a rescue schnauzer. I literally can't take it. I'll itch my own ear off.
You perfume the wiggles
of your clothes Okay. If you don't think people like eating on your podcast, they're definitely not going to like this.
Just look over here. Enjoy your burritos. And little birds just gonna trail off
keeps
now.
Keeps going.
Now I'm gonna stop. She's doing the judgy look.
No, that's friendly. You'll know when it hits you. It'll
was
fill you
it?
With no. a dark and unending sadness.
No, because now I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 65th National Finals of Distinguished Young Women.
Every year, one girl from every state leaves her family, her whole life behind, for 2 weeks and spends each day training, practicing, preparing. Because to win this competition, she needs to wow a panel of judges with her academic record, her athletic ability, her speaking skills, and a show-stopping talent.
I met her and I was like, she's gonna win.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
When I sing that song about being a black woman in America, there's gonna be backlash about that.
Oh, I'm just so happy, so happy.
I don't wanna see them, I don't wanna talk to them.
And then we stayed with them for the next year,
unpacking just what happened those 2 weeks in Mobile. I'm Shimo Liai, and from Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.